and welcome to A Word for This Day podcast. I'm Jory Schaefer, the show's host and creator, and it is my joy and pleasure to welcome you today. Welcome back to all you regular listeners. I'm so thankful that you are here today, and welcome to anyone who has found us for the first time. It's no accident that you're here today, so please don't run off quite yet. Please stick around and let's see what the Lord has for us today as we spend time in His Word. I continue to pray for you daily that the Lord would draw you closer to Him and give you more of a desire to know Him and His Word, and that you will be intentional about spending time with Him. Please seek out those times to think about Him, think about His Word, have little reminders throughout your day, have reminders stuck here and there, Bible verses that you're studying, be working on a small group Bible study, spend time in worship, in prayer, read the Scriptures, but don't just read them, park in some verses and study. And one of the best ways is just to read over and over again that verse and the verses and chapters surrounding that, and ask God to help you understand. And He is faithful, friends. He sends His Holy Spirit to guide us and to lead us in all truth. And I just love it that He would love us so much that He would allow us to have this written word. What a blessing and what a joy. And may we not take it for granted. May we realize the gift that it is and use it and draw closer to Him in that way. Please consider sharing this podcast with your friends, family, neighbors, strangers, just anyone who you think may receive a blessing from it. And know that I love to hear from you. So if you feel so led, send me a message sometime. Let me know what the Lord's doing in your life as you're spending more time with Him and His Word. Well, our verse for the day for April the 26th, 2024, comes from the book of 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 26, and it reads as follows from the Legacy Standard Bible. "Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?' And she answered, 'It is well.'" You may say to yourself, now that is an odd verse. How are we going to apply this? What was going on? So if you have not heard this story, oh, I'm excited for us to park here, because I think this is one of the Old Testament examples of someone showing great faith. And so I'm excited for us to park here and see what we can learn. So, you know, if you've been on this journey with me for very long, that I think it's wise for us to think about where we are, where we are in the Scripture, what book or letter we're in, who may have written it, if we could determine that, what was the circumstance surrounding where we find our verse for the day. And so we are in the book of 2 Kings, and this is in the Old Testament. We've been a lot in the New Testament this whole month of April. We've had very little Old Testament stuff. This may just be like the second time this month, because there's been so many verses in the New Testament that we've parked in. But the Old Testament begins with the five books of the law. Then it moves into Old Testament history, which tells us the story of God's people. You know, it ends up in the law, where the Israelites are getting ready to cross over into the promised land. And then the books of history begin with them crossing into the promised land and what happens there. It tells us about the kings, tells us about the judges and then the kings. And after that moves into what are known as the books of wisdom, or wisdom and poetry. And then it moves into the books of the prophets, which are divided into major prophets and minor prophets. This history is so important. And some of us may, when we hear history, say, oh, no, not history. I didn't do well in history. But history, this shows us so much. I love what the Old Testament shows us. Shows us a great deal of the character of God. Of God the Father, of Yahweh, that one who, that covenant God who made promises with his people and kept them even though they were unfaithful. Much like us, he, you know, all of us are sinners. All of us have at some point gone our own way. And God is still faithful. Our unfaithfulness does not make him any less faithful. What he says he will do, what he promises comes to pass. And so we see that throughout this Old Testament. But these books of history, as I mentioned, go, they start right after the books of the law, right after the Israelites have come, have been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years and are getting ready to go into the promised land. Now, this books of Kings, it's thought that in the original Hebrew, it wasn't 1st and 2nd Kings, it was just called Kings. And then it was divided in later translations, later copies of the text, just for ease of copying. But it really takes us, 1st and 2nd Samuel start right before this, and they tell us about the kingship of Israel. We read about the first king, Saul, and then we read about his successor, David. And then in Kings, it really picks up with Solomon and goes all the way through to Zedekiah. And we see the kings in the books of 1st and 2nd Samuel, Saul and David and even Solomon were kings of that united kingdom of Israel, those 12 tribes that had gone down to Egypt, those 12 sons of Jacob, who became the heads of the 12 tribes, and they grew. They went down to Egypt and grew from 70 persons to up over 600,000 men. So it's thought there were 2 to 2.5 million total people. And that happened over about 400 years. And God had told Abraham 400 and something years before this happened that the people would go down. They would be in a country that was not their own. They would be in great bondage, and then he would bring them out. And that's exactly what happened. We read about that in the latter books of the law, in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And God brought them out, and he had Moses to lead them during the wilderness, Joshua to lead them into the promised land, and then he had judges. After the judges, he had these kings who were the kings of that whole, those whole 12 tribes. Well, Solomon was David's son, and he was disobedient to God later in his reign. And part of that punishment was that part of the kingdom was going to be torn from him. And so it was at that time that that united kingdom was split into a northern kingdom called Israel and a southern kingdom called Judah. And we read that there are different kings. There will be kings of Israel and kings of Judah. God was going to continue his promise, his covenant with of the good news that there would be a king that would never fail to sit on the throne of Israel forever and ever, and that would be Jesus, and it would come through that southern kingdom of Judah. So you will see that most of the kings of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Many of the kings of Judah did that, but God was faithful. And so we see in this history book of 1st and 2nd Kings, where we will see about some of those kings, but then we're going to read about some of the prophets as well. And we will read about Elisha today. He was a successor of Elijah, the one of the main prophets. And so this is what we're going to pick up and talk about And this story backs up actually to about 1 Kings 4, chapter 8, with about a lady who had trusted and revered and respected Elisha because he was a man of God. And so I'm going to pick all the way back up to chapter 4, verse 8, and let you hear what she had done for him and hear about how they had interacted, and then hear what happens today so you could see what was going on. And I'm excited for us to park here. Now, I just want to remind you one more time, we're talking about Elisha and not Elijah. You can read about a lot of the things that went on with Elijah in the latter part of 1 Kings, and then we see in 1 Kings 19:19 about the call of Elisha, who was his successor. It says here, "So he went from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, while he was plowing with 12 pairs of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed over to him and threw his mantle on him. So he forsook the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, 'Please let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you.' And he said to him, 'Go back, for what have I done to you?' So he returned from following him and took the pair of oxen and sacrificed them and boiled their flesh with the implements of the oxen and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and ministered to him." So that is what happened when Elisha was called. And then over, I believe it is in 2 Kings in chapter 2, we read about when Elijah was taken up to heaven, and then that was passed on to Elisha. And so Elisha picked up and was the prophet in that area because God had chosen him to do that. It was by the leading of the Lord. And remember, at that time, and we've talked about this before, that the prophets were there to give God's message, to bring the message, to encourage the people to turn back to him. That's how they heard from the Lord. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. All believers in God did not have the Holy Spirit like we believers in Christ get the Holy Spirit when we believe, and we can be guided by that. We've got his word. But then they had to wait, like they had to hear from Moses, and they had to hear from the prophets. And so it was a different time, but that's the way God had it set up at that time. And so it's important to think about that when we get to our story today. But here, that was in chapter 2 of 2 Kings, and then in the beginning of chapter 4 of 2 Kings, we read about Elisha and the widow's barrel of oil. And then I want to pick up in chapter 8 where he met this Shunammite woman. And it says, "Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunam, where there was a prominent woman, and she prevailed upon him to eat food. Now it happened as often as he passed by that he turned in there to eat food. And she said to her husband, 'Behold now, I know that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually.'" She could tell that he was God's servant. "Please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. And it will be when he comes to us that he can turn in there. Now it happened that one day he came there and turned into the upper chamber, and there he lay down. Then he said to Gehazi, his young man, 'Call the Shunammite, call this Shunammite.' So he called her, and she stood before him, and he said to him, 'Say now to her, Behold, you have been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the commander of the army?' And she answered, 'I live among my own people.' So he said, 'What then is to be done for her?' And Gehazi answered, 'Truly she has no son, and her husband is old.' And he said, 'Call her.' So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. And he said, 'At this season next year, you will embrace a son.' And she said, 'No, my lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant woman.' Then the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Then the child was grown, and the day came that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, "My head, my head." And he said to his young man, "Carry him to his mother." Then he carried him and brought him to his mother, and he sat on her knees until noon and then died. Then she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door behind him and went out. And she called to her husband and said, "Please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return." And he said, "Why will you go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It is well." Then she saddled a donkey and said to her young man, "Drive and go. Do not hold back the pace of the ride for me unless I tell you." So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. Now it happened when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his young man, "Behold, there is the Shunammite." And here's our verse. "Please run now to meet her and say to her, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And so I'm going to read just past this, okay? "Then she came to the man of God to the hill and took hold of his feet. And Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, 'Let her alone, for her soul is bitter within her. And Yahweh has hidden it from me and has not told me.' Then she said, 'Did I ask for a son from my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me?'" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up your loins and take my staff in your hand and go. If you meet anyone, do not greet him. And if anyone greets you, do not answer him, and lay my staff on the boy's face." But the mother of the boy said, "As Yahweh lives and as your soul lives, I will not forsake you." And he arose and followed her. Now Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the boy's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, saying, "The boy has not awakened." Then Elisha came into the house, and behold, the boy was dead and laid on his bed. So he entered and shut the door behind them both and prayed to Yahweh. And he went up and lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes on his eyes and his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. Then he returned and walked in the house once back and forth and went up and stretched himself on him, and the boy sneezed 7 times, and the boy opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. Then she came in to him, and he said, "Take up your son." Then she came and fell in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son and went out. I wanted you to hear that whole story so you could understand more of what was going on. So this lady and her son had built this place for Elisha whenever he was in the area because they knew he was a man of God. And God used them to provide a place for him, and he wanted to help. And so he asked what she might need, and she really said she didn't need anything. But his servant told Elisha she has no child, she has no son. And so Elisha prophesied that she would have a son. And she said, "Don't tell me that, you know, don't deceive me if it's not true." But he said, "This time next year, you will embrace a son." Well, then you see that the child went out to his dad in the field, and he got very sick. And we don't know if he had an infection, if he had sunstroke, if he had an aneurysm. We don't know any of that. I could think of a lot of things that it might be, where he was saying, my head, and then he died a little bit later. But do you see what she did? She didn't freak out. See, at that time, I don't know that they felt that they individually, that the people could call to Yahweh. They thought they had to go through the priests. They thought they had to go through the prophets, it seemed. And she was going to the one who had spoken to her about what God would do. She was going to the one that she knew was the man of God. Now, thankfully, on this side of the cross, we could go directly to the Father because of what Jesus has done for us. But at this time, it wasn't that way. But do you see her faith? She didn't go to her husband and freak out. She didn't go, she may have been on the inside, but her outside was showing faith. She's just like, "I've got to get to the man of God." And when people ask her, when her husband asked her, she said, "It is well." She had faith. And, you know, it's always been about faith with the Lord. And I don't think it was faith in Elisha's ability so much as it was faith in his ability to go to God the Father for her, and God the Father on behalf of her. We don't know much more, obviously, than what was written here, but when Elisha saw her coming, he knew who it was, and he could tell that there was something up. And so in our verse, he said, "Please run now to meet her and say, 'Is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with the child?'" And so Elisha sent his servant to ask him. What did she tell the servant? "It is well." She was waiting until she got directly to Elisha. And she was not telling everybody along the way. She was on her way to get to the man of God. Now, as I mentioned, for us, it's not that way now. We could go directly to God the Father because Jesus has made a way for us. But she, her example here of waiting till she could talk to the one who could plead her case before the Father is very much what we should. It's a wonderful example to us. We go through Jesus. We shouldn't be asking our closest 1,000 friends on Facebook or all the people around. We should be going directly to Jesus, directly to the Father through Jesus. And that's a wonderful example here. The other thing that I see here is just her faith. It seems that she felt like since Elisha had told her she would have this son, that she was going to have a son for a while, you know, and we can't look at this, you know, the name it and claim it type folks will say, well, all you got to do is believe hard enough. All you got to do is ask long enough and God will give you exactly what you want. God is going to give according to his will for his glory. Sometimes it will be what we pray for, but sometimes his answer is no. But in this case, his answer was yes. And who got the glory? He did. And I'm so thankful for that. And you see that Elisha came in, and this is one of the times that we see someone resurrected from the dead in the Old Testament. And it's just such a blessing to see that. But I'm thankful for this example of this Shunammite woman who didn't run and tell everybody else. She went straight to the one who could make a difference. And it's the same with us, friends. Like I said, now we don't have to go through a priest. We go through our great high priest because Jesus has made that way for us. But we can come boldly before the throne of grace to find mercy and help in our time of need because he's made a way for us. But at this time, before the cross, they had to go through those who had the relationship, that close relationship with God. But I just think it is a wonderful example of her faith, of not running to everybody else, but going to the one who had a chance to make a difference. And it should be the same for us. May we be better at going to God first with all the things and not trying to get everybody else's input or everybody else's help. It's okay, I think, after, depending on the situation and depending on the leading of the Holy Spirit, after you have asked God for his help and his guidance and you feel something within your spirit that's what you're supposed to do, you feel like you're being led a certain way, either by something that you're reading in God's word or by leading of the Holy Spirit, to ask God to help you with confirmation and maybe to come to others and say, I have this issue. Would you pray with me about this? Pray that I'm doing what God wants me to do. But I don't think we have to shout it out and get the most popular opinion because, friends, the most popular opinion in the culture often is going to be opposite of God's opinion. But may we go to the one who can make a difference, and that's Jesus. That is God the Father. And I'm just thankful for what we have here in this example. And I want to encourage you to do that in your walk. Blessings to you, friends. Until next time.